Right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go for a special Thursday night episode of Sage City of Heroes Radio. I want to apologize for not being on the air last week. I was mega sick, couldn't get my head off the pillow, feeling blah, as all can be. Excuse me. And couldn't do a show last week. I apologize for that. We're doing a show Thursday night this week because I'm getting pain block shots in my neck tomorrow. And you all know what that means. Usually I'm pretty much out of it by Friday night. I thought about doing the show, then I remembered, no, I'll be in no mood for a show tomorrow night. I'll be actually dead on air. But Tony V, I don't know where he is. But ladies and gentlemen, along with me tonight, right now, one of the co-leaders of the awesome supergroup, Paragon Dawn. Ladies and gentlemen, he is simply known as Mad Viking.
As he slides in the home plate, he's safe.
Hey, how you doing?
Got here just in time. I was like, no one's here. Where is everybody?
I have a legitimate excuse. I was talking with the group, prepping for Dawn Con 2.
The quest for our sequel. All right, what are we calling it?
Well, I kept on joking the search for more money, but going with the because we can.
That's right, because we can. Yeah, and don't forget, folks, Dawn Con 2 coming this summer. It's basically going to be the Saturday. Okay, I'm hearing bad echoing.
Hold on. I'm working on it.
All right.
Normally, we have time, for those who do not know what's going on, where I avoid putting the echo, and then he hears it. But this time, I just raced in.
Yeah, it's rush tonight. Sorry about that, folks. So basically, I don't remember the date now. God, my neck is
July 23rd.
Thank you. July 23rd, or the Saturday night of the San Diego International Comic Con this year. It's going to be 6 hours. We have plenty of tickets, plenty of hotel rooms. Imagine that.
And sodas do not cost $10.
That's right. In-game, they're free. You want to go to the store and buy them? Buy them at the store rate. We're not going to check you at the door. You're going to cosplay at this thing? Bring your weapons. What the hell? I'm not going to stop you.
Yep, so like I said, we are planning for it. Last year was 3 hours. This time we're going six. And I've already got a few guests already lined up. Two of them were from last year. One of them.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Who's that?
Starting off with Tony V and Pogo Man of the Save COH podcast will show once again.
Oh, I hear they're nice guys. Yeah, they'll be fun with them.
Swackhammer, the letterer of the digital comic Zombie After After.
Oh,
showing.
Very nice. Very cool.
Two new guests that are confirmed. Sawflip, she's going to go and tell us how a real Comic-Con is made in the form that she helps make Conuga, as she assists one of the makers.
Very cool.
And latest one, one of our members, Viking Queen, well, at Boopy on the game, is now the drummer of the number one Kiss cover band on the East Coast, Hotter Than Hell. So he will be describing how it is to put on the paint and perform the music.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. It looks like things are shaping up nicely. Do we have T-shirts ordered yet? And do we have the Boop plush action figures ready to roll out?
We haven't gotten that far yet. Right now it's just, you know, making sure, because I have two or three more that I'm still working on. I said the minimum I wanted was six guests.
Okay.
I'm working on the last ones now. And all cases, they're going, we're interested. We're very interested.
Right.
We're very, very interested. Just I'm waiting for him to say yes.
We're very, 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 very interested.
You could hear that, but.
Yeah. It's like, go on. Well, I was waiting for Tony V to show up tonight because he mentioned this. I read this the other day. He has mentioned this on his Facebook page and several places. I wanted to mention this now because I said this, I think, last summer, if you remember. I don't know if you want to call it predicting or whatever, but CBS has canceled Supergirl Season 2. However, it has now been signed by CW.
Much to my delight, because if they canceled Supergirl, a certain other co-leader of Paragon Dawn would have went on a Texas rampage.
But remember when I said this? I said I want it to do well, but not well enough for CBS to keep it for Season 2. Bring it over to CW. You know, bring it into their, because remember now, because it was on two different channels, they established Supergirl's in a different universe. So now they have to do something to bring her universe into the DC CW universe, and then you'll have Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow, you know, all week long.
Well, think of it. It's already happened with that last episode when Supergirl and Flash met, when worlds collide.
Right, but he's from a different universe, they said. He crossed over from the multiverse. They established a multiverse.
Right. So what better than to bring the CBS universe Supergirl into the CW universe? Use that episode as a piggyback.
Right. They have to do something, and maybe they'll do something with the season premiere. Like some weird event happens. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Will they bring her over?
Well, that means also, it brings in John Jones, brings in every other...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you could do that all in one show, though. That's all I'm saying. You could do that with the Supergirl show. Yeah, I'm talking about her universe melding with this, I'm going to call it the DC CW Prime universe. You know what I mean? Well,
the DCW?
DC CW. Or should we just call it DCW?
DCW
sounds better. DCW sounds better. All right, the DCW-verse. How about that? That's what we have named it, the DCW-verse. There we go.
And for those who are wrestling fans, you know, you could probably use that for your own wrestling little thing.
And for those who are listening who play Wrestle Unstoppable, I wouldn't be surprised if there's already a DCW player-run company in that game. Somewhere, because I think all the letters are used, a lot of the letters used up. It's like everybody in the game owns a company. It's ridiculous.
Now I want to mention yesterday...
Yes.
This was a gamer holiday yesterday.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes.
No.
It was the 11th anniversary of that fatal run on World of Warcraft. Yes. It was Leroy Jenkins Day.
And I don't have it on the... Oh, man, I was going to try and put... Damn it. Oh, I wanted to put it on the studio. It's not on the studio. I thought it was here. Damn. Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen.
Leroy Jenkins remix that I posted.
I watched that. I'm just talking about the simple. Somebody used to have on here just the, him yelling his name part.
Uh-huh.
And let's just face it. It was the worst team wipe, I think, in gaming history. but, you know, hey, at least he had his chicken. So.
And what? And now, I know I said this before, but I'll say it again. One of our members in Paragon Dawn was in the group at the time when Leroy Jenkins did that.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know. Who was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Black Wolf.
Oh.
The next time you're on and Black Wolf's on, you got to find a way to get him on so he can tell you what
yeah.
the hell happened.
Tell us the story. Yeah, because, I mean,
afterwards.
You know what's funny? It seemed like the video was going to be like the way they were talking and that guy who did the quick number crunch, to me, it seemed like they were doing a player demo video, okay? And then all of a sudden, he just came in, and I think, and it almost like he ruined the whole thing, what they were planning. You know what I mean? That's why they were pissed. But you got the greatest moment. Oh, this is how cool it is. 2 weeks ago on The Flash, if you watch it, Cisco, they had this plan. They had to do something with The Flash as a hologram. He goes, here we go. And right before they go to credits, he yells, Leroy! Oh, he did a Leroy Jenkins! See, now he's in, you know you're famous, and a cool show like The Flash yells your screen and does that. And it was a very good episode, too. I was like, oh my God. And for those who are fans, did you watch this week's show? This week's episode? Advice?
You're cutting out, but no, I did not see that episode.
All right, two things. Kevin Smith directed it. Yes, that Kevin Smith. And Jason Hughes makes a cameo. Not as side Jay, but a very funny cameo he makes.
I was about to say Blunt Man and Chronic?
No, no, no. Actually, Kevin Smith is in it. It's just Jason Hughes. He's taking a woman. Do you want me to tell you really quick? It's pretty much right at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
This metahuman's running around destroying things, and he walks out with his date for the night. You know, nice. And she goes, oh, my God, is that your car? Yeah, baby, you know it's my car. This guy destroys the car in seconds flat, and all of a sudden he yells, my mom's car! So. That was
now, if they had Blunt Man Chronic and Mark Hamill playing Cockknocker on that one, that would have been perfect.
Because, well, you know, Mark Hamill's already been on the show. Because you remember the show for the 90s, he played the Trickster before he played the Joker. And if you remember watching that episode, that's where he starts developing that Joker laugh that he came up with.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was last season, he played the Trickster again.
I'm glad that, you know, they did that.
Yep. So that was pretty cool. They mentioned that on the Fort Wesley Ship plays his dad, you know, his dad on the show. So that's kind of cool.
Okay, speaking of Flash, I have some comic book news.
Okay, hit me.
With the Rebirth.
Yes, that comes
Wally
up.
Wally West.
Yes.
It will be a redhead. It's the redhead Wally West.
Oh, very cool.
But.
Yes.
And there's that but. He's going to be a teenager again. He won't be the same age as Robin. I mean, Nightwing, Wonder Girl, yada, yada.
Right, as he was. So he won't be in Teen Titans. Or maybe he will be in Teen Titans.
Yeah, because think about it. I already mentioned they're killing off the 52 Superman and putting in pre-52 Superman, who has a son, Superboy.
Okay.
And he will be teaming up with Damian Wayne, Robin.
Oh, yes, I heard about this. Were the Super Sons or something like that?
Right. So it makes only sense that there will be a Teen Titans with Wally West Kid Flash.
Right, because you need somebody to team him up with at that point. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting was I told you a couple weeks ago I did get Justice League vs. Teen Titans, the movie, the DVD I got, the Blu-ray, whatever it was I got. I watched it. Oh, Tony V's here. All right, Tony V's here. I'll bring him on in a second. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time out. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. He's a few seconds late, but it's all right because, you know, this is all thrown together last second. The man, the legend behind the Titan Network himself, and he just missed my whole thing about Supergirl. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Tony V.
Woot. Howdy.
Howdy, yes, and I just mentioned you before, that all your posts about Supergirl. And I said to the Mad Mike, I said, remember last year before it came out? And I said, I want to do well, but not well enough for CBS to pick it up, and it goes over to CW. Boom. That just happened. And I called it way back when.
Well,
you heard it live first on Save COH Podcast.
That's right. Save COH Radio. It was a Pogo Man prediction that came true.
I was actually pretty surprised. I mean,
really?
Because, I mean, CBS picked it up. I remember reading articles about how CBS picked it up because they wanted to sort of jump on the superhero bandwagon.
Right.
And it kind of surprises me a little bit that they gave it up. But
now, one of the reasons, same reason they didn't keep The Flash going after it had two great years. Money. They didn't want to justify spending that much money per episode.
Oh, I know. But still,
you know, it's ridiculous.
I mean, they knew what they were getting into. I just, but you know what? I'm fine with it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just glad it's getting a season two. I would have been pretty pissed off had it.
Oh,
had
yeah.
They canceled it.
Well, this is what I was saying now. We were just talking about it. You have to find a way to bring Supergirl, that universe, into the DC. We Mad Mike and myself, we dubbed it the DCW-verse.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
You just have some cataclysmic event that merges the two universes.
That's
in fact, yeah, I mean, you can actually use that to sort of drive a bunch of plot lines, too. I mean,
Oh, yeah. And then a nice massive crossover here and there.
Now,
since we're all going
to
be there.
Question to a lot of people who you listen to Save COH.
Yes.
Why Thursday the 12th? Is it
what do you mean?
Superstition?
Yes, that's exactly.
No, it's a very simple reason. I'm being pain block shot in my neck tomorrow, and as you all know, me on anesthesia by about 8:30, I am pretty much out of it. I'm pretty much in. I'm just gonna lay here and watch TV mode. I've done this show. I have done one. Susie Elf isn't here to verify this. Twice I think the show last hour, 45 minutes. I'm just like, okay, sure. And she's like, okay, you're not saying much. I'm like, anesthesia, kicking in, you got to take over. She goes, yeah, I figured as much.
We're not going to have a bloopers show?
No, sorry. I was actually thinking about it, but then my neck is in so much pain today. I'm just like, no, just we'll just do it tonight. We'll just do it today, and this way I get a decent show. And do it this weekend. I have a feeling that sometime the afternoon, I said, screw it, I'm going to cancel again, which I didn't want to do, you know, because we did a show. The last we did a show was the 12th anniversary of City of Heroes 2 weeks ago. So I figured, let's get a show in, you know. We have to talk about that, even though we did a show that night. And just all this news coming out this week about TV shows, movies. By the way, I did see Captain America Civil War in IMAX 3D Monday. I took my nephew for a birthday present. Oh, my God, this might be the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie to date.
So what did you think? We went to see it this afternoon.
Oh, what did you think of it? I
just
need my opinion.
I don't know if I would say it was the best. It was really good.
I think the fight scene, and
no spoilers or anything, but I do think the fight scene just kind of dragged on a little bit. I was...
Come on, you had 12 heroes in the movie. All right, for those who don't, you had 12 heroes in the movie. There was a tease about Spider-Man. He's in it a bit longer than I thought he was going to. I think he's in the movie about half an hour.
Yeah, I mean it had a lot. It had a lot of scenes with him in it. He was in it more than I thought he was going to be.
Right.
But yeah, I thought the fight dragged on. And about 3/4 of the way through, I was sitting there thinking, okay, this is really kind of dragging. They need to wrap this up because it's getting really long. Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours long. I was sitting there thinking.
I loved it. But what I was thinking, because I remember hearing about some fight scenes I saw scenes for and I hadn't seen in the movie yet, and I'm thinking, I hope they have enough time for this. Because there was a big fight, and I know there was at least one more fight that I saw scenes for they hadn't shown yet. So I said, I was thinking to myself, wow, they better get this fight in, you know. And it was the one at the end. It's the one in the movie where you see Winter Soldier, Captain America fighting Iron Man. That was on the previews. So already,
yeah.
I'm not spoiling anything.
And I mean, to be fair, I think it's a little amusing because everybody's like, "Oh, no spoilers, no spoilers, no spoilers." Well,
watch the previews.
There aren't that spoilers in the
movie. I mean, I'm sorry, you saw the previews. Yeah, it happened. You saw it.
If you're passingly familiar with the story in the comics, and if you saw the previews, it's pretty obvious what happens. And
right.
I guess the ultimate resolution is maybe not, you know, documented very well, but
some things were kept spot on to the comic series they did that time, and other things weren't, which I think it's a better movie than it was comic book series, how they handled things.
I agree with that, but the comic book series was kind of over the top, and
it was too long. It was one of those Marvel events where they had to throw everybody in there except the X-Men and the Incredible Hulk. And, you know, it was like everybody outside the X... If you weren't a mutant and you weren't the Incredible Hulk, you were in this thing.
And Thor.
And Thor was it? I thought Thor was in it at the beginning.
No.
No, Thor was never a part of Civil War.
Okay. I was thinking of something else then. I could have sworn... Because they blamed him. Didn't they blame him for killing somebody at the beginning of it?
No.
Was another hero I'm thinking of. I might be thinking of another hero with Paul Bond here. All right. But anyway, this is what we were talking about this at one of the conventions I went to. It's like, think about it. They said it was perfect that World War Hulk was going on at the same time. Because, like, think about it. Whichever team gets the Hulk, they win. Pretty much. You know, and
well,
the X-Men... I thought it was great because they had their own storyline going. And it's one of those things like, how many times have the X-Men in trouble and no one else comes to help them? And so I think they just finally took the attitude, you're all on your own on this one, man. We're not getting involved with this.
Well, I mean, I thought it was, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I thought it was bad. I thought it was good. I thought it was really good. I don't know if I'd say it was the best. If I had to pick the best movie in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
That would be hard to do. I really liked the original Captain America movie. Of course, the Avengers movies are always really good. So, I don't know.
Age of Ultron was a great movie. I think this one just passes just a little bit.
It's safe to say Howard the Duck will not be on that list.
Oh, no. No. Oh.
I will say this. I was not disappointed in the movie. I went in
not at
with
all.
High expectations. And I came out not disappointed. So it's definitely. I'm certainly not saying, oh, don't go see it, because you should definitely go see it. But
definitely go see it. Definitely go see this one. I'm going to say this though. I'm going to say he was better than Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice.
I haven't seen Batman vs Superman, and I'm pretty.
I'm going to
sure
say
that's a fair assessment.
And I'm going to say that. I will say, I will throw money on. Once you see it, I'll give you my opinions of Dawn of Justice, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. I will say this. Ben Affleck, he did a great job, Batman. And that's why they're doing a go-ahead with him doing a couple of solo movies as playing Batman. I thought his parts were fantastic in the movie, so.
Well, but I did like it. I mean, it's definitely an enjoyable movie.
Oh, yes. I thought it was paced well, so.
Okay, well, since there were comics made for it, I will do a segue, also kind of luring into what I was talking about before.
And, hold on, one more thing. Sorry, quickly about, where is it? I had news about the movie, here we go. As of this morning, according to SuperheroHype.com, Captain America Civil War is already up to $765.8 million globally.
So tell me something. Are you Team Captain America or are you Team Iron Man?
I was Team Captain America in this one going in.
Oh, see, I'm Team Iron Man, so.
I remember reading the comics and I had to side with Cap.
Yeah. That's what I did too. I side with him there. I side with him in this one.
Well, in the comics, I didn't really side with either one, but.
Well,
in the
my
movie,
thing.
I have to say, I was with Tony. I mean, aside from the whole sharing the namesake thing, I just, you know, I can certainly, you know, I'm going to say this, and this is, hold on, this is like me.
All right, right, yeah, but here's the whole thing. Okay, pretty much every note, the Civil War was started because basically people are saying superheroes have to be held accountable for their actions. Fine. I'm here. Background noise.
Yeah, that's not me.
I know. But the way it's presented to them, oh, these many people were hurt, these many people. You know what? If they hadn't interfered and done what they did, a lot more people would have been hurt. So,
well, I don't disagree,
you know,
but at the same time, you know,
you gotta
have some kind of oversight. You can't just have people out there who are completely unaccountable to anyone for anything, you know?
Okay, but wait. But the whole point was that the UN would deem when they could go and help. Okay? By that point, who knows how much would have been done. And that's my thing.
Or at least be aware of it. I mean, you know. See, that's one thing I like about the movie, that the comics was sort of, you know, in the comics, if you didn't sign up, if you didn't register, you were arrested
right.
and thrown in jail. In the movie, if you didn't sign up, well, you were retired. You just, you know. It wasn't a matter of, your existence was not illegal. It was your use of your powers, unsanctioned by the UN Council.
Right.
So
right. And I want to say this. In the comic book, you remember, Peter Parker came out and revealed that he was Spider-Man. And look how many problems that caused for him and his family after that.
Though I have to give credit where it was due,
mm-hmm.
the reaction of J. Jonah Jameson in that comic, priceless.
Oh, yeah, but for that alone, yes. But after that, the after effects.
Oh, yeah, I agree on that one. But it was like, and my name is Peter Parker. Jonah?
See, I don't know why they just didn't turn around and Peter Parker say, no, probably not. They just asked me to do this.
I thought Marissa Tomei playing Aunt May was really weird because, not to put too fine a point on it, Marissa Tomei is extraordinarily good looking.
Yeah, and she's not that old.
Young.
I know she's
young
not.
Young is the word you want to say.
Yes, yes.
I'm sitting there thinking, holy crap. At first I was like, that's not Aunt May. That's Marissa Tomei. I mean, she's like.
Yeah, I was like, that's a friend of Aunt May's? She's hanging out. She's just waiting for Aunt May to come home. She's Aunt May's nursemaid or something.
And I thought it was kind of funny that, well, I won't say that because that could be considered spoilerish. But, yeah Marissa Tomei, I'm sitting there. And, of course, I always remember Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny. And she was drop-dead gorgeous in that movie. I've seen her in several movies since. And every time I see her, I'm like, my God, that woman is so cute. And, yeah, I was sitting there. I had a hard time getting past that. That's like, that's not Aunt May. That's Marissa Tomei, for crying out loud.
Hold on. Time out really quickly. I'm standing in Paragon chat. Mr. Hassan Pfeffer and El Toro Diablo standing next to me holding torches. Costume judges out during costume contest tonight. This time it's women only. It's going to start soon once daylight hits again in Paragon City, Paragon Chat rather. The costume contest will begin. Females only, one costume per contestant. I'm trying to see here. Winner gets picture taken with the trophy post on Facebook, and I guess that's the only thing. You have to be a female character, and best costume wins. One costume only. Paragon chat underneath the Statue of Atlas. Sorry, go ahead. But I think the actor playing Peter Parker Spider-Man is very young this time compared to the previous ones.
And that's fine. I mean, you know, he's a kid, so, you know.
True.
I thought all the actors did a fantastic job. There was not a single actor in that, but other than the weird casting of Marissa Tomei, I thought all the actors did a, and she did a good job in what she was doing. But If I were her, I would have been a little insulted because I would have been like, you want me to play Aunt May? Really?
Well, maybe she just tried out for it. Hold on.
All right, wait.
I want to check something here. She was born 1964.
Yeah.
So she's 52.
Yeah.
She can play May. I mean, we don't know. How old is Aunt May in the book? You know, how old is she supposed to be?
I don't know. She always looks like she's about 70 to me.
Yeah, I have to go with that one.
Well, maybe she's just playing a younger one this time because, you know, Peter Parker is younger.
Obviously so. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And I'm looking here on the Internet Movie Database, and Spider-Man Homecoming, she's playing Aunt May again, and that is in pre-production.
Well, so. I mean, you know, you used to watch Spider-Man and his amazing friends, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember Aunt May was a little old lady who's like, well, now, Peter, you be careful when you're out with you. I mean, that's Aunt May.
She was always, I know, she was always frail, I know.
Not, you know, sassy, sexy Marissa Tomei. Come on.
Okay, maybe the idea of Aunt May being a cougar, brain bleach.
They're just updating her for the new millennium, man. Come on.
But other than that, man, I thought the casting was, I mean, obviously the most of the people were in previous movies. I really liked Black Panther. He did a fantastic job.
Yes. Yep. And that was great how they got him involved. And he's got a movie coming out in the next couple of years.
He does, and I will go see it.
Oh, yeah. I go see them all. But I'm saying this one is really, really good. I was really impressed with this one.
Okay.
Really does have their stuff together when it comes. They've really nailed it with the
so far. Russo brothers did a fabulous job directing this one because Josh Whedon has stepped down as directing any more of the Marvel movies.
No.
Yep. Sorry.
Now, jumping to another area that did have comic, so it kind of fits.
Okay.
All right, I mentioned about Friday the 13th.
Yes.
The series, as of now, the Friday 13th movies are still, at the moment, in the hands of Paramount.
Okay.
According to the contracts, they have until January's Friday the 13th of next year to come up with a movie, or it goes back to New Line.
Oh.
Now, after seeing the Friday the 13th that they did, and I'm sorry... Okay, we all know Jason's a New Yorker, okay? Crystal Lake is in Sullivan County, New York. I know it. I live near it.
Okay.
Anyway, but we've gone through all the movies. And when they put Jason 1 as a runner and not a slow stalker, I'm like, they butchered this. So I'm, as strange as this sounds, I'm hoping it goes back to New Line. Get the original storyline back.
I watched the one, I can't remember which one it was, but the one that was set in the space station in the future and
Jason X.
Yeah, I was never a big Friday the 13th fan, but when I saw that, I'm like,
What's funny? There were some hilarious moments in that movie. Like when the Sarge... one of my favorites is the Sarge is up against the door. He gets a machete through his chest. Huh, you have to do more than that to stop me. And he gets another one through the other side of his chest. Yeah, that'll about do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely... I could tell it was intended to be comedic, you know? But still, I was just like, eh.
But like I said, you know, the original idea of Jason... owning that camp, he doesn't have to run. He just can walk in, do what he has to do. He's not a runner. And the last one that they did, he was a very agile runner. I'm like, this is not Jason. I'm sorry. No.
See, I didn't see that one. I didn't see that.
I did.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, some people go like, oh, they're trying to get back to the original roots. I was like, okay, original roots, Jason, still not a runner. I'm sorry. Not working. Leatherface is a runner, not Jason.
Hold on. Dinklage Imp in the chat says he. I'm answering a previous comment he made about Howard the Duck. We mentioned him earlier. Howard Duck is great. The original Steve Gerber comics were awesome. The movie, not so much.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been like years and years since I've seen the movie, but
yeah,
Jason wasn't in the original movie, was he? Wasn't it like his mother?
He was at the
everybody?
Very end. Spoiler alert.
Great, thanks. No, go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't mind spoiling movies from like the 70s, but.
But yeah, basically on that one, it was the mother. It was made back in 1980. I think most of us already know now. Number one, the mother was the killer. Then
right.
At the very end, when everyone thought it was all over, that's when Jason makes an appearance.
Well, I was more of a Nightmare on Elm Street guy myself, so.
Well, New Line also brought in Jason versus Freddy.
And
right.
I saw that in the theaters.
Yeah.
And there was talk of Jason versus Freddy versus Ash.
Really?
But.
As a movie or comic book?
Ash is in Dawn of the Evil Dead series.
Right, but IDW has many comic book series with Evil Dead, Ash versus.
Right.
They even had one.
There was a comic series of Jason versus Freddy versus Ash.
Really, I didn't know that
yep.
one. I missed that one. See, at the time, the comic book store I was going to, they didn't get much IDW. He just got stuff that was like mainstream, or if people came in asking for it, he would get it. But a lot of people were like, well, if we don't know about it. You know, like sometimes they were secret. And then if you went into him, he goes, oh, you waited too long. I'm like, I found out about this last night. It's not coming out for a few months. Oh, well, it's too late to order them to come out on time. And you say he's out of business now. So
think about it. If Paramount stumbles.
Yes.
And it goes back to New Line, then we can get Jason versus Freddy versus Ash.
Okay.
That, you would have to admit, would be a good movie.
Oh, yes, it would be.
Did you see the new, wasn't there a new series, Evil
Ash
Dead
versus
series?
Evil Dead. Ash versus
on
Evil
Stars,
Dead.
On Stars,
yes. On Stars. It premiered this past Halloween, and it was on for 10 weeks. It was very good.
Yeah, I didn't have Stars. I could probably catch it on demand now if I wanted to.
You can. Try Couch Tuner.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. I watched it when it came out.
It
was very good. Oh, yeah, I liked it. I'm a fan of the original movie, so.
I the first one was weird. The first one was the scariest of the three of them. Awesome.
Oh yeah, but the first one was the scariest of the three of them. The second one, they said at the end of it, it was Evil Dead 2, an experiment in horror and comedy, because it was more comedy than horror at certain points. And then the third one, it was like maybe some horror. I don't know if there's any horror in that third one. But,
well, I mean, there's skeletons and stuff. But,
right,
you
and
know.
The deadites and whatever.
But yeah, it was definitely. And you know what? This is funny because I have never seen a movie that breaks down cleaner over gender lines than Army of Darkness. Because almost, and I'm not going to say every, but almost all females that I know of who have watched that hate it. And almost all males
really?
That I know who have watched it love it.
Huh.
And I have lots of female friends who are like sci-fi and horror and fantasy fans and stuff like that. But, you know, it's the circles I run in. And almost all females that I know of who have watched it have been like, this is stupid. I don't like it.
That's funny. Because I know back in the day when Army of Darkness first came out, I was still playing Dungeons & Dragons with some friends after I graduated college for a couple of years. Just a small group. And we quoted that movie every week we played. Like, there were certain, you know, like when you start playing, you'd certain lines from certain movies you start quoting over and over. And we quoted some great lines from Army of Darkness we were using all the time. And we had two women in the group, so.
I loved it. I mean, when I saw it, I thought it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen.
Yeah. I even saw. Hold on a second. I just got to take a sip here. Sorry. I rented it one time, and there was an alternate ending.
Yes, I've seen it.
And I didn't like the alternate ending because there's a great line you get from the original movie when he says "Hail to the King, baby." That one was not in the alternate.
Yeah, I have like the director's cut, and it's got the alternate ending and all that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't care for the alternate ending. That just kind of ruined the whole, you know. But
it's still pretty funny though.
So I do have some news. As we've been reporting the last couple of weeks, get back on track to comic books. We did mention The Killing Joke is going to be a Blu-ray. I have the release date for it officially now. August 2nd. It will be released on DVD and Blu-ray. You can pre-order now. And it will be available on digital HD on July 23rd.
Woot.
Okay.
So, and I have here a list of extras that will be included. First off, you're going to get an exclusive sneak peek at the next DC Universe original movie. They're not saying what it is. There'll be a featurette, Batman the Killing Joke, Madness Set to Music, where Jim Gordon must bear witness to the most disturbing images any father can imagine, while a maniac entices his break from sanity in song. This documentary looks at the step-by-step process of one of the most crucial scenes in Batman the Killing Joke, including the methodology James Tucker used as he storyboarded Brian Bolland's stunning work for the screen. Dynamic music partners, composers, lyricists, creative merging of original music with the poetic words from the graphic novel to provoke the desired feelings and emotions for this critical scene, and actor Mark Hamill's physical, devoted performance to capturing the world's most notorious supervillain in song. Another featurette is Many Shades of Joker, The Tale of the Killing Joke. Let's see here. It's a long
one. I would assume that would be all the origins ever listed.
Right. It says, basically, in why after nearly 30 years in print, Batman the Killing Joke is more thought-provoking than ever, as its socioeconomic themes are relatable to generation after generation. You're also going to get from the DC Comics Vault, you're going to get two 22-minute episodes. The first is going to be from the new Batman Adventures, an episode called Old Wounds, and then from the Emmy Award-winning Batman the Animated Series, Christmas with the Joker. And I think that's it. And, of course, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill reprise their Batman the Animated Series roles as Batman and Joker, respectively. If nothing else, that's a reason to get this one.
And well, I was kind of hoping you would have said the one episode where Joker does the "Today a Clown Dies," a cry speech.
Yes.
I mean, The Killing Joke has that one iconic speech of the Joker, which was the reason why Mark Hamill wanted to do it.
Yes. I think he's wanted to do The Killing Joke for years.
Oh, yeah. So we should have been only fitting to put that episode, which had the "Today the Clown Cries" speech, would have been great.
Well, you know what's really weird? If you read the graphic novel, that little story at the end of it, where it's just some normal guy and he's sitting there talking about how he wants to go out and kill Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he would do, it was like, wow. So.
Well, on that note here, I'm assuming you have some updates since we were 2 weeks away.
Yes, I do. Let's start with Heroes and Villains. I do have two of them. Let me just get the right one here. All right, first off is from Saturday, April 30th, update number 178. All right, this week we've been doing some more work on coding our power system, with the focus still on getting the basic framework in place and functioning before we start adding more to it. One of the key goals for the system, as well as others in the game, is to set them up in a way that allows non-coders on the development team to still be able to input some data into them to maximize the efficiency of the game's development. Although this approach does mean that the initial work takes longer in the short term, but will pay off a lot in the longer term. We've also been expanding more of the story and setting ideas that have been in place in the backstory for a while now, but have been given less attention while we've been focused on developing Titan City, as that's going to be the first part of the game that players will see, and will always be the central hub, both story-wise and socially, of the entire game setting, no matter how many other settings we might eventually add to it. All right, that's 179. This is number 179. This was first posted last Friday. Oddly, it would have posted right before we did our show last week, but here we go. All right, this week, we've been working on the design of open-world mobs to try and come up with ways to make them feel more dynamic and realistic, and less static and obviously just standing around waiting for players to come by and beat them up. City of Heroes did this quite well with some of its street mobs by having them taking part in muggings, scouting out buildings to burgle, or actively breaking into places. But other mobs were simply standing around in large groups with no obvious reason as to why they would be doing so, or why the police weren't doing anything about it. This was more noticeable in the higher level areas, where the types of enemy groups found there had much less reason to be out on the streets than the gangs found in the lower level zones. Another problem with street mobs that came up in COH was after the Atlas Park revamp, where some of the new missions required a certain number of street mobs to be defeated, but to make sure that there were enough to go around for multiple players. The respawn rate was way too high, leading to the new mobs popping up almost right behind the players, making the game mechanics way too obvious at the expense of the narrative and immersion in the world. They became more like resources to be harvested rather than giving an impression of being living and intelligent enemies. This is why balancing the need to have street mobs that act reasonably realistically and have a narrative reason to be out on the streets with the need for the gameplay to flow properly and intuitively is such an important part of not only designing the street mobs, but also of designing the mobs in general. Have a heroic film this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team. So there you go, Heroes and Villains updates. We're all caught up on those updates.
Woot!
Hold on, just give me a second here. I'm looking for the other one from City of Titans. Where is that one? I just had it here. I'm sorry. All right. You want me to read this one, Tony? You want to read this one?
No, go for it.
Gee, thanks. All right. All right. This one is called Should You Choose to Accept It? Prototype mission and some video. So I'll just say where the video is and just watch it. I'm actually going to post this one in the chat room for those people who are here. If they want to look at the video as I'm reading. And I will also post it if you're hanging out, maybe just watching on listening, if you have your Facebook open. I'm posting this on the page under this week's episode heading. All right. Should you choose to accept it? This is from Shadow Elusive. All right. Every so often, we begin to put things together. You've seen parts here and there in passing. But today, we're putting a lot of it together for the first time. A secret data drop, a covert rendezvous in an underground parking garage, called into the police chief's office, a hidden tip in a classified ad, an overheard comment, a stolen purse. A call to action comes in many ways and forms. What follows is the heart and soul of the game. And then there's a video. The prototype does not reflect finished result. You can watch that. And then it says, still needs a little refinement here and there. We wanted one bad guy to run off into the distance after you gave him a right hook, and the boss fight isn't there yet. And the UI is still in the prototype stage. And underneath that is a symbol, and it says, I understand. You thought you were doing the right thing, but you still have to face the consequences of your actions. Come quietly, and I personally guarantee you will see a fair trial. And in parentheses, it says, nonviolence, lawfulness points. And that's a mock-up of the dialogue choice UI stage 2, not yet implemented. But we've got our missions together. You can now go and save the day or ruin it. Your call, your choice. And I do mean your choice, because we've gone further than any game has in creating options for you. We could write missions that wind up leading you on totally different paths, even leading to different mission maps entirely, depending on your choices. That's not all. There's a lot of odd little elements we've worked in here that you might not have noticed. Animations galore. The NPCs are actually reacting to what you choose to say. Speech balloons should be in there, but we just started integrating them with the chat system. So what you say bubbles as well as the NPC chatter. The guard and the undercover agent should both call you over, but it's not working right now. Annoying, but sometimes you have to move ahead with what you have. And, of course, transitioning from the game world to the mission map while keeping on the same quest. So important to make the game live. But surprisingly hard to do without everything shutting off and resetting. These things you can't have seen, too. For example, every single part of the mission is run off a single spreadsheet that we just import into the game, and there's a picture of the spreadsheet. And write a new mission, import a new spreadsheet. It'll pick a map, set up the NPCs, and tell them how to behave. We're working on dynamic maps as well, but they're not working yet. Imagine it. Every mission map different, not the same map time and time again. Another thing we're thinking of adding is expanding objectives. Sure, nobody likes having to get a partner to have two people shut down a bomb at once, but if you're on a team of eight, what if that kind of objective will appear naturally and vanish if you're solo? There's a lot of things we could do in the future, but this is a good start. Another thing you couldn't tell is how that gangster at the door is instanced and phased. He only appears to you while you have the mission. And if two people have the mission, they see different gangsters. So Captain Trouble can beat him up, and Sister Danger can talk right on past him without conflicting with each other. And there's another picture of a spreadsheet. And this is all preparation for our player-facing mission writing tool. All we need is to make something that can spit out spreadsheets. Technically, comma separated value files, which are even easier. Save them, load them, trade them with your friends. The easier we make it for us to write missions, the more missions we can write for you. And the easier you can write missions for yourself. There's more, though. You've seen our building efforts over time. This is the first experiment with our street builder and building builder. You'll notice every one of those buildings was slightly different, and those streets were laid out perfectly. They're both made with our automatic tools. We set rules up and hit the trigger, and we're good to go. You might even have noticed they have insides if you look through the windows. Not great ones, not yet, but they're coming. We're shifting focus back towards the costume creator now, but today I can say that City of Titans has gameplay. Tomorrow's getting brighter, day by day. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Those are your updates.
Slowly but surely, they all come into play.
We're getting there. Slowly we get there.
step by step, inch by... Okay, no, let's not do that skip.
Don't miss Niagara Falls. Nope. Oh, I have some Booster Gold news.
Okay.
Greg Berlanti has confirmed his involvement in the Booster Gold movie. Yes. Last year, rumor popped up that Warner Brothers was quietly developing another addition to their roster of DC films, a buddy cop film starring Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, which Arrow, The Flash, and Supergirl executive producer Greg Berlanti would direct. No confirmation ever came on the project, however, until now. Speaking with The Hollywood Reporter, Berlanti confirmed he's attached to the project and would like to direct it. He says, I'm attached to a few films at Warner Brothers now, and one, Booster Gold, is a DC property. Zach Stentz, who wrote an episode of Flash last year, just got the job, so he's writing the script now. I'd probably direct that, or I would want to. Now, it's worth noting, Berlanti made no mention of Blue Beetle as part of the film, as the earlier rumor suggested, though with the film still in development, the character could make an appearance. Created by Dan Jurgens in 1986 and featured in his own eponymous series, Booster Gold is the superheroic identity of Michael John Carter, a resident of the 25th century who travels back in time to the present-day DC Universe. There, he makes use of his futuristic technology to become a hero, at first eschewing traditional heroic notions of justice and nobility, and instead signing endorsement deals and shamelessly self-promoting. So look to that. Look for that one coming up in sometime in the near future. Booster
which
Gold,
then,
the movie.
Which then brings the question, will
yes.
we see Guy Gardner, Fire, Ice, Power Girl?
Maybe? I would like to see that. I think that would be cool. But let's see how the original Justice League movie does. I mean, these are all things somewhere down the road, I think. Okay, I do have some news from NBC. Are you ready for this one? We got a lot of news this week. NBC has picked up the DC Comics comedy Powerless to series. The half-hour comedy will air during the 2016 to 2017 season. In the first comedy series set in the universe of DC Comics, Vanessa Hudgens of Grease Live and High School Musical plays Emily, a spunky young insurance adjuster specializing in regular people coverage against damage caused by the crime-fighting superheroes. It's when she stands up to one of these larger-than-life figures, after an epic battle messes with her commute, that she accidentally becomes a cult hero in her own right, even if it's just to her group of lovably quirky co-workers. Now, while she navigates her normal everyday life against an explosive backdrop, Emily might just discover that being a hero doesn't always require superpowers. And the powerless cast includes Vanessa Hudgens, Alan Tudyk, Danny Pudi, and Christina Kirk. Ben Queen will serve as writer and executive producer. Director Michael Patrick Jan will do the pilot and also executive produces. Powerless is produced by Warner Brothers Television and based on the characters from DC Comics. So, what do you think of that?
There you go.
A comedy entering the fold. NBC is getting in the mix. Well, I guess since Heroes. Sadly, no more.
I still remember reading that Wikipedia, the talk of City of Heroes movie.
Oh, yeah. bad news here from Disney.
Jar Jar Binks in Star Wars?
No. The other day, on May 10th, Walt Disney Company announced during their second quarterly earnings for 2016 that the fan-favorite Disney Infinity game series has been canceled, and the company has discontinued their self-published console games business. They confirmed that going forward, their strategy will be to focus their video game content on licensing the games to other developers and publishers. So there you go. No more Disney Infinity.
And a whole bunch of mothers of children are going, thank you, I'm getting tired of going to GameStop.
I can save money now. I wish they would have kept the game open, though, at least. More news, movie news. Godzilla 2 is delayed, and Godzilla vs. King Kong has been dated. Basically, Godzilla 2 will arrive 9 months later than originally planned, while Godzilla vs. King Kong has a release date of May 29th, 2020.
Is Godzuki going to be in it?
I don't know. Let me read this here. There's been a schedule shift today for the future of Legendary and Warner Brothers cinematic kaiju universe, as Gareth Edwards' Godzilla 2, originally planned for release on June 8th, 2018, will now arrive 9 months later on March 22nd, 2019. Godzilla vs. Kong will then follow on May 29, 2020. The latter film was always intended for a 2020 release and is now the first major release to claim that date. In fact, the only other film currently dated for May 2020 is a mystery Marvel Studios project set to arrive May 1st. Ooh. Godzilla 2 will open opposite Paramount Pictures' animated feature, Amusement Park. The move also gets Godzilla 2 out of the path of a sixth Transformers feature. Seriously, they're going for six of those movies? Sorry. I stopped you after the second. Believed to be the planned Bumblebee spinoff. Oh, good Lord. Moviegoers will next have an opportunity to visit the cinematic world of Godzilla and Kong with a March 10th, 2017 release of director Jordan Vogt Roberts' Kong Skull Island. I'm looking forward to that one. 2018 won't be entirely without Giant Monsters 2, as Legendary and Universal Pictures' Pacific Rim 2 is slated to arrive in theaters December 31st, 2018. Warner Brothers also slightly shifted the release of one of their mystery DC Comics feature films. Originally set for release on June 19th, 2020, the same date as a mystery Pixar release, the DC film will now arrive in theaters July 24th, 2020. It has been highly speculated that the DC project in question is Green Lantern Corps, but that has not been officially confirmed by the studio at this time. One final addition to the upcoming Warner Brothers schedule places the mystery event film for release on December 25th, 2018. There's currently a mystery live-action Disney film set for release that same day. A lot of mystery.
I just had a bad image here. It will be Godzilla versus Devil Dinosaur for the Marvel movie.
Oh, no. No. Oh, I can't believe I forgot this. CW has more news about comic book TV shows. Sit down for this one. If you're not sitting down, it was announced today. The CW officially welcomes Archie and the gang as it sets the Riverdale series for a season order. Yes, Archie, Jughead, Benny, Veronica, and many more familiar Archie Comics characters have officially found a home at the CW. The publisher has confirmed today a season pickup for the live-action Riverdale series. The one-hour drama will be written by Archie Comics' chief creative officer, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, and produced by Warner Brothers Studios and Berlanti Productions. The Hollywood Reporter, meanwhile, brings word that the only two CW shows not returning next season are Containment and Beauty and the Beast. Okay, Containment, as far as I knew, was a limited series event, and Beauty and the Beast, they've already announced this is his final season. So, in addition to the Riverdale series, newly confirmed debuting shows include the comedy drama No Tomorrow and Frequency, based on the 2000 film. The Riverdale series offers a bold, subversive take on Archie, Betty, Veronica, and their friends exploring small-town life and the darkness and weirdness bubbling beneath Riverdale's wholesome facade. The show will focus on the eternal love triangle of Archie Andrews, girl next door Betty Cooper, and rich socialite Veronica Lodge, and will include the entire cast of characters from the comic books, including Archie's rival Reggie Mantle and his slacker best friend Jughead Jones.
Okay, you said the trouble bubbling underneath Riverdale. I just immediately thought Afterlife with Archie.
That's what
Where
I was thinking.
Everyone goes zombie.
Yes. All right. There you go. Now, I know we didn't get to talk about this. You know, for weeks we were talking about International Tabletop Game Day. How did everybody do with that? Did you guys do anything?
I actually didn't do anything special this year.
Really? Well, we were going to, but everybody in the house was sick for a couple weeks. So we actually wound up doing it. Oh, hold on. Wait, somebody just asked me a question. Sorry. Hold on, I'm just posting something for somebody.
Well, I've been doing night shifts for the past month, so it sort of interfered with my sleep schedule there.
Hold on, I'm trying to help her up. Okay, so believe it or not, I ordered a bunch of games, but the only game we've been playing, and everybody loves it in the house and the family, Zombie Dice. As a matter of fact, my grandmother, who has trouble seeing, she wants her own copy, so I ordered her a copy of the game for Mother's Day, as a late Mother's Day gift.
Told you it's fun.
It is. We've been playing it all week. And I even ordered the Zombie Dice 2 dice. We tried them out last night. That was pretty fun.
Now,
you know
that
what?
The one with, like, the Hottie and the Jock?
And the Hunk. Yeah, the Hottie, the Hunk, and Santa, yes. But you know what's really hard to find? The Zombie Dice 3. It's supposed to be a bus, a dice representing bus. And that's almost impossible. It's, like, out of print. I think I saw on eBay for, like, $45. I was like, oh, my God.
I've got that.
You do have that one?
I do, yeah.
I might have to get it. I'm thinking about splurging.
In fact, I bought... Here, I'll put this in the chat. I bought some of these.
Okay. Oh, meeples. Oh, those things. Okay. I found online they have two plastic bags of brains. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a big old bag of brains.
That might be better because we've just been writing the results down on paper.
Yeah, we've been keeping track of it in our heads.
Yeah, our fun things. Oof. All right, Zombie Dice 3, 486 plus $6.50 shipping. Good Lord. Here's bag of brains, $9.99, and you get. Oh, well, let me. Okay, hold on. Yeah, it looks like they're plastic. Yeah, 25 plastic for $10. don't know if that's even worth it. Because we usually play to 8 people. So to have that many brains, can you imagine how much I'd have to spend on brains? That sounds so wrong.
I guess, but...
What?
I like my meeples.
Yeah, the meeples one look cool, though. See, now what's funny is... All right, for $15...
But did you play Ticket to Ride?
What?
Did you play Ticket to Ride?
I don't have that game.
Oh. Well, what else did you get? You got several.
We tried Sushi Go. I'm trying to read the rules, and people are asking, like, they get caught up on one thing. And we'll come back. And they just harp on one thing. It's like, oh, my God, just let me finish reading the rules. And then I turn them face over in the discard pile, and they just put them in the rest of the deck. So we had major problems with that one. Apparently, there were too many rules for people to follow.
Really?
On that one. Yeah. So, it was just, so we weren't just playing Zombie Dice Night. We just did that. We tried Sushi Go. I got Batman, because we never played, Batman Love Letter, and then I got a whole bunch of the Munchkin stuff that no one wanted to try. Well, we didn't get that far, so.
Well, of all of them, Munchkin's probably the most difficult to pick up, so.
All right, that's what I'm thinking, too, so. It's all right. Well, I think we'll have fun with this one for a while. So I think that'll be fun. The important thing was having fun doing it. That was my whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, since I'm working nights, though, I didn't really do anything to mark the day. In fact, I'm sitting here about to kick out. I'm in the process of switching back to days, so I've got to be at work tomorrow morning.
Oh,
so for the past couple of nights, I've been like sleeping different shifts, so I've almost made it back to days.
Cool. Well, we have about 20 minutes left in the show.
Woot! Want to make a 20-minute speech?
Well, why? If you want to, Bill, I think Mad Viking could do. Actually, I did want to mention something about Champions Online that started today. They said it's bonus XP week that started this morning. However, it's not the normal double XP that everybody was hoping for. You have to go to War Witch in front of the powerhouse, Millennium City, the main area. It's basically you just get 20% experience point bonus for killing stuff. Or defeating stuff, I'm sorry. That's all you get. So, you don't get bonus, you don't get double or anything like that. You go beat stuff up.
Yeah, there are times during the game where, you know, you can either you get double XP or bonus XP. There's times for extra resource or money. The rare times of the queue, the questionite, which you can turn into Zen, which means you can buy the real good stuff. But at the moment, it's XP.
Oh.
So if you're a power leveler, this is your week.
Okay, you know what's funny? I missed this news, and somebody just posted it here in one of the chat channels, Paragon. That, sadly, ABC has canceled Agent Carter.
I saw that. I was really disappointed. I like that show.
Yeah, me too. So, sadly, Agent Carter will not see Season 3. They say, due to the fact Season 2 had really low ratings, and the season finale this year had like, the record lowest.
So
that
if
was
you
their
haven't
justification
been watching
for
it,
not bringing it back next year.
So if you haven't been watching it, it's your fault.
That's right. It's your fault that Agent Carter isn't really there. I hope people are happy.
So if there's any Star Trek Online players out there, that game's actually had a couple of news tidbits the past few days. Did you see where they released a new content, Agents of Yesterday? It's set in the original series Star Trek universe.
Oh, really? No, I don't play STO, so. Give us the news, sir.
Well, they released a new content update called Agents of Yesterday.
I have some weird notes. okay.
here I shall post a link in the chat.
All right.
And the other thing, what else was it they announced? Oh, they're porting it to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So,
really?
If you're more of a console player, you'll be able to play Star Trek Online from your console.
That's cool. Ooh, and the classic Lizard Man Gorn from Arena will be making an appearance.
Yes.
Ooh.
I've actually been binge watching Deep Space Nine the past couple of weeks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I never, you know, I was a huge fan of the original series, and then I watched The Next Generation, and I thought, yeah, it's pretty good. And I watched Deep Space Nine for, like, I don't know, off and on for a couple of seasons, and just kind of lost interest in it. And so I'm catching up on all the episodes I didn't see, and some of the ones I did. I watched the, yesterday, I watched the Tribble episode of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, I like that one, yeah, I remember that one.
Oh, they did a fantastic job with it. I thought it was awesome. And then they came out with Voyager, and I absolutely hated Voyager, so I probably won't.
Yeah.
Make it.
I watched very few episodes of that one, and it was just lacking.
Well, let's see. We covered the good part of the movie situation. We covered the bad part of the movie. Now I guess it's my turn to bring in the ugly.
Uh-oh.
As I'm reading right now,
yes.
Two other things are going to be turned into a movie. Two
Uh-oh.
Video games.
Oh, no.
Missile Command and Centipede.
And you know what? They don't need to, because they were covered in the movie Pixels.
But they're doing both of them.
Why? These movies never do that good. Remember Battleship? It was a god-awful movie. Just leave
Atari
them.
Atari is thrilled to partner with Emmett/Furla/Oasis Films to develop feature films based on two of our most beloved titles. Centipede and Missile Command are part of Atari's unparalleled and rich library of popular games. We cannot wait to see them come to life.
I can wait.
Now, Missile Command, I can somewhat see, you know, you'll have three protagonists, going after, you know, the aliens invading. Okay, I can somewhat see that. How on God's green earth are you going to do Centipede?
Right, I don't. They did it great in Pixels, but that's about it.
I mean, basically, if you go as is supposed to be, you're in control of the one shooting the DDT. Okay, DDT first is politically incorrect. That means no one will use it. So they got to find another way to kill all the bugs.
Well, I just posted a link in the chat there for Minesweeper, the movie.
I think I've seen that one. More TV. More news. Sci-Fi Channel has greenlit a pilot for the Superman prequel series Krypton, and it's going to take place 200 years before any of the Superman movies.
I'm not convinced that'll be any good. I have a hard time. Because Krypton, I mean, it's not like super-powered people lived on Krypton. I mean, they were just normal people.
Right. That's what I don't get. What's the...
The only way I could see that maybe working, if during its time period, Kandor becomes bottled.
Maybe.
And at least then you bring in Brainiac.
True.
Now, whether it's robot Brainiac, purple skin human Brainiac, we don't know.
True, true. Oh, I had two more things.
Brainiac who just wants some pants.
Oh, sorry. Back to Captain America Civil War for a second. I just remember this. They show the trailer for the Doctor Strange movie coming out in November. That looks fantastic. By the way. And also, Kevin Feige has said Marvel Studios is committing to a Black Widow solo movie. So hopefully we'll get that.
That should be good.
That should be good. Black Widow,
the thing is with the Doctor Strange, already massive controversy and a case of really fumbling on the words. Now, I assume you already know there's going to be someone who doesn't. The controversy is about the part of the Ancient One.
Oh, yes, yes. That person was shown in the trailer, yes.
Now, in the comics, the Ancient One is an elderly Oriental man.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I first heard this movie was coming out, I'm thinking the guy who plays Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat would be great.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, too.
George Takei would be great on this, you know, break out from the Sulu.
Right.
And they changed it to a middle-aged Scottish woman.
Yes.
Now, the reason why is because they want to spread out diversity amongst the movies. Well, here's where they really fell on their face because... Oh, hold on a second. Sorry about that. I had to take care of something. But here's where they fall on their flat on their face on that situation was because out of all the movies of Marvel, name the strong Asian actor or actress.
Yeah. From the Marvel movies. You know.
None.
Those guys who play the Yakuza and Daredevil series. you know, what's his name? And the other one, that woman that talked to Kingpin. And
this would have been, I mean, they fell flat one time and used that rule with Iron Man 3 replacing the Mandarin, who's supposed to be an Oriental who uses magic, and put it in English actor.
Yeah, that twist was very disappointing.
And now they're going to do it again with the Ancient One. I mean, they want to talk about diversity. How about put an Asian in?
Yes.
That would be diversity.
You know, I liked Iron Man 3, except, and a lot of people didn't like it for that twist I'm using in quotes, because, that was a little disappointing.
If you wanted to say you didn't want stereotype, okay, it's weak, but some people would accept it.
Right, but they didn't.
No, they didn't. They went for the diversity angle.
They're gonna have to come back and say, "Oh, we meant to say this."
Then, you know, you got African American strengths. You got, I know they were talking about an American Indian in one of the upcoming movies. I forget which one. And they want to expand even more. Well, yeah, this was your second shot for an Asian. And they blew it.
They blew it. I don't know what they were thinking.
And
I mean, it wouldn't have been that hard. There are a few Asian actors I can see them in my head.
Like I said, the one that played Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
He would have worked. George Takei, I know, would have loved to shake off Sulu.
Oh, that would have been awesome. But they did not. They dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm. And they're going like they wanted someone who can fight.
No, it's not. Hold on. Dinklage. No, it's not Moira McTaggart. It's not the actress named Moira McTaggart. It's, hold on. You know what I could do right here? I could just look it up. I'll tell you in a moment. I'm getting there. Otherwise, the trailer was like phenomenal.
Oh, I'll give credit where it's due. Yeah. That's going to be Swinton. One heck of a sticking point now.
Hold on. It was Tilda Swinton.
And I said that, you know, with the group in Paragon, Dawn, and we had one person, you prefer having someone going ching chong, ching chong, ching chong? I'm going like, okay, Rosie O'Donnell. How
yeah.
about authenticity, sticking to canon, being faithful, and they have yet to have an Asian in any of the movies.
Now I have a question. I know the character Iron Fist, but his background, was he Asian or was he just like an American who went off and, you know, did his thing and learned all that stuff?
Say that again.
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist is a Caucasian.
Okay.
Who was trained in the secret society. So, yes, he would be a white blonde-haired person.
All right, well, this guy has brown hair, but Finn Jones is a British actor who's playing Danny Rand.
Okay.
Huh, interesting. It says here Iron Fist coming out in 2017, and also says he's playing Danny Rand in The Defenders, which is in pre-production for 2017 as well. And, of course, he's on Game of Thrones as Loras Tyrell.
Now, when I heard the Hulk was not going to be in the Marvel, in the Civil War, I was
right.
thinking it was because they wanted to segue him into the Defenders, since he's a founding member of that as
no.
well.
Well, remember, maybe this might be a spoiler. I'm going to give a five-second countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler coming. Remember Age of Ultron? He disappeared. And he's going to be in
right.
Thor Ragnarok. He's going to be in Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
So wherever he went into hiding. So.
Well, he has to come back down to Earth sometime.
Well, he came down, but they don't know where the plane was.
Well, that's why I was thinking where the Defenders come into play. Did they bring in Doctor Strange? That's
right.
Founding Defender number 2. All they need is either Silver Surfer and or Submariner.
Yeah, but I think they're going to go with a new route with the Defenders, it looks like. It looks like they're pretty much going to go with Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Man, Power Fist.
Well, that would be the Marvel Knights.
Well, they're calling them. I don't know why they're calling them. Right now, there's only 8 episodes for that one. And right now, it looks like the Marvel Knights are going to be the Defenders on Netflix.
Ugh.
That was the plan this whole time. I don't know why. Yeah, that's why. I don't know why they're calling them the Defenders. Maybe that's just a working title?
Maybe. Because when I think Defenders, it's the original 4.
Right.
Or, if you want to move ahead, then you add in Valkyrie, Hellcat,
right.
Nighthawk, Damien Hellstrom.
And weren't Beast and Iceman from...
And Moondragon.
Right. But Beast and Iceman from the X-Men, they were in that too, weren't they?
Yes, yeah. Later on, yes.
Okay.
See, and Dinkins goes, and Howard the Duck. No, wait a minute, hold it.
Dinkins, no, Howard the Duck.
Oh, that was a pun. Unintended pun.
Where's an unintended pun? Oh. Okay. That's funny.
Yeah, and Hercules and Black Widow.
Iceman, Angel, and Hercules and Black Widow were in the champions. Oh, okay, they were in the champions. Right. Okay.
Right.
Never mind, wrong book. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking here right now. I just looked up on Wikipedia.
Hold
on.
We have someone saying Howard the Duck was a defender.
Hold on. Okay, I'm looking up now on Wikipedia. I'm looking up every member. Now,
okay.
It says here the original 3 founders were Doctor Strange, Hulk, and Namor the Submariner. Okay? Now,
right.
These are the list of the recruits of the early 70s. Ready?
Ready.
Yeah. Silver Surfer, Black Knight, Valkyrie, Namor Ida, Hawkeye, Nighthawk, Professor X, Son of Satan, Luke Cage, Daredevil. Okay, that's where you get that. The Thing, Ant-Man. Now, for some reason, they mentioned the Guardians of the Galaxies because they were associate members of the Defenders. Okay. Yondu, Martin X, Charlie 27, Alita Ogard, Vance Astro, and Starhawk. Then you had recruits of the mid-70s, Red Guardian, holy shit, Howard the Duck.
Oh, my God.
Is an associate member. Kudos to you, Dinklage. Hellcat, Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, Devil Slayer, and Spider-Man. And then you had some that were Defenders for a day. Black Goliath, Captain Marvel, Captain Ultra, Falcon, Havoc, Hercules, Iron Fist, Jack of Hearts, Marvel Man, White Tiger, Torpedo, Taggart the Leopard Lord, Stingray, Prowler, Polaris, Paladin, and Nova.
Yeah, that was a separate series altogether. The Secret Defenders, if memory serves me right.
And then there's a whole here. I'm just going to put this list here in the chat if you want to check it over. There's a whole list. Okay, Dinko says, use Defenders. But yes, I got you. I did say, yes, Howard the Duck. Yep, there, Howard the Duck, featuring a riotous reprinting of the world's most wanted comic, Howard the Duck, number one. And first time everyone's favorite foul joins the Defenders, an all-new 27-page epic extravaganza. And we have just over 2 minutes left in the show. Wow. Well, we certainly did a lot today. Discussed a lot. there were two things about the X-Men movie coming out I wanted to mention. Simon Kinberg teases the X-Men Apocalypse post-credit scene. He says the post-credit scenes are now staple of superhero movies, and though not everyone does them, they're still expected by eager fans, waiting through the long list of names. If you recall, X-Men Days of Future Past had a scene setting up this year's X-Men Apocalypse, and now Apocalypse will have a post-credit scene of its own. Right, 90 seconds. Speaking with Collider, writer-producer Simon Kinberg teased the Apocalypse post-credit scene, saying, "It's a nod toward potentially a lot of different movies. I mean, certainly the Wolverine movie is related to what happens at the end of it, but there's also another character that's introduced, at least a name, in the tag, and he could show up in any host of different X-Men films, maybe a Gambit movie, maybe another X-Men movie." Okay, so that's a tease there. And then one more. James McAvoy becomes Professor X in new X-Men Apocalypse featurette. 20th Century Fox has released a new X-Men Apocalypse featurette, which sees James McAvoy transforming into Professor X with an official head shave and even a cameo by the original Charles Xavier, Patrick Stewart. All right, I'm going to post this link because you can watch the video below. So you can check it out. There it is in the chat. There's the featurette. And I'm going to post this one on Skype. We only have limited time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Sorry for the lateness of announcing that we were doing the show tonight. We will be back next week. Friday night, our normal time. Have a great week, everybody. Keep playing games. If you can, check out ParagonDawn.com. Also, don't forget a 20% XP bonus for defeating stuff in-game this week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We do this all for you guys. Without you guys, we just be talking to ourselves about comic books and whatnot for an hour and a half every week. Anything else you'd like to add, Mad Viking? Or Tony V, you still here?
Nope.
All right. With that, say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.
Goodnight. I think we're in the after show. Or we should be.
Woot.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Well done, guys. What's up?
Which leaves me a half hour to go to this costume contest on Champions, where the special challenge category is bathrooms.
Bathrooms?
Bathrooms.
Dress up like a bathroom attendant.
Needless to say, and you know some of the more eccentric thinkers of our group.
Yes.
Came up with some very interesting names. Potty Mouth.
Oh, good lord. I'll say make a buy in Paragon chat. Hello, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. Let me see. What was I had to take care of something over here on Champions.
I'm just saying goodbye to Paragon Chat.
Okay. But basically, yeah, Potty Mouth. They said no clones. So if you're a Kids Next Door fan, no, you cannot be the Toilinator. a few others, which, no, I'm going to just let you say we have very eccentric thinking.
Yes, I can imagine. All right. All right.
But, yeah, I was racing on because I was, like, in the midst of talking about the contests that we're going to have in Dawn Con. And I looked at the clock. It was like, and what time is it? Oh! And the race is on.
Well, I hate to say this, but I am going to have to call it a night.
Yeah, my head is hurting. My neck is killing me. And I have a few things I have to take care of here as well. And the end of the show is getting ready to come in about 10 minutes. So let's get out of this place.
Okay.
Get out of the chat room before the wrestlers come in. They don't know what happened. All right. With that, guys, we're going to end the show here. Everybody have a great night. Have a great week. We'll see you next Friday night, our usual time slot, 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. And go out there, play some games, have some fun this week.
And if I remember, I'll tell you who won the bathroom contest.
Okay, cool. And I don't know who won the costume contest, so shite. Let me see if I can find out who it was.
Oh, nice plot on that one.
Oh, okay. Nina Orbital. What happened? Oh, okay, sorry. Nina Orbital won. Nina Orbital won the costume contest.
Okay. Well, you guys have fun.
Yep.
All
right, we're out of here.
Tony,
get some sleep.
I shall talk to you next week.
All right. Yep. Mad Viking, good luck at the costume contest.
Well, I'm not entering. We all just going to watch and see what happens.
I got some things to take care of here. So have fun, and I will talk to you tomorrow. I'll find out what happened.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one. Good night.
Good night. Bye.